happy in peace and war. Days of our history, the actions of America's military men have been governed by codes of conduct. During the Revolutionary War, a 14-year-old patriot enlisted in the Continental Army to add his support to our fight for independence. Captured by the British, the brave youngster stubbornly refused to divulge vital information which would have aided the enemy, even after he was badly sword whipped. After his escape, he continued to fight, secure in the knowledge that he had not betrayed his country. That's what the code meant to young Andrew Jackson. That's what it means to every loyal American in uniform.
The FBI in peace and war. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, A Book of Matches.
Back to the hotel and meet you there.
No. He's going to be comfortable over the place as soon as it happens. We're going
to get picked
up.
Get out. Go on back to the hotel. I'm sick of listening to him. You wanted to cut him out of the street, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
You kept saying, why should we divide this three ways? All he did was drive the car.
No.
All right, then just shut up, huh? Don't be here. Just wait for that letter.
What did you tell him?
I said, Eddie and me figured if he would go up now, we can divide up the dough. Your car would be in a suitcase and park his second booth in the downtown state. I said, enclosed his keys. Good luck. Your friend, Joe. If you want to go back... there he is.
Where?
Where's the taxi cab?
I don't see him.
Right there. He's got on that gray suit.
Oh, yeah.
He's reading a letter. Yeah. And he goes to the second booth. So long, Harry. You
sick. Look who's that, though, Joe. We just wanted to see the show.
No, I want to see you.
No!
Shut up. I'm busy. That's right, Harry. Get out the key. Keep thinking about that money, Harry. Have fun, kid. Because you're going to blow sky high in just about 10 seconds. Okay, I open the door, kid. Take out the food.
Okay, Harry, that's all. Come on, let's get out of here.
One of three men wanted by our bureau for bank robbery was killed by a bomb as he took a suitcase out of a parcel checking locker in the downtown station. Fortunately, no one else was near the locker at the time. There were no immediate clues as to who had set up this threat. When Donner's body was removed to the morgue, the only items found in his pocket were a $5 bill and a book of matches. We began our search for the killers of Harry Donner with that book of matches.
FBI, it says that the careful planning of the murder in...
Helma, for the love of Mike, will you stop reading that stuff?
Yeah, what's reading you?
You get four newspapers every day. Do you have to read every one of them?
Yeah, I have to read every one. I'm interested in the news.
Well, all right, read for yourself.
Mm-hmm. You are.
Now, look.
Better not let Joe find out, Eddie. Find out what? He's noticed already. If I can see it, he can see it.
Helma, I think you're looking for a good clout on the head. That's what I think.
You know, do Eddie, you ought to go someplace for yourself for a while.
I'm all right here. Just stop reading out loud, that's all.
You know, this is everything. You ought to go down to Miami or someplace for a couple of weeks.
Now, maybe we'll roll when he gives me my cut.
No, I don't like Miami.
All right, I don't either.
Eddie, do you think he won't give you your cut, Teddy?
No, I don't think that.
I bet you do.
Listen, he can't fool around with me, Alma. He knows that.
He does.
Well, if he doesn't, I'll tell him.
That might be a good idea.
What, do you think I haven't got the nerve?
Oh, sure you have, Eddie.
All right, now lay off that.
Lay off what?
Needling me all the time, that's what. Not going to do me out of my cut.
I'm watching every movie mix.
Why?
Because I don't trust them, that's why.
And you're scared of them.
Who says I'm scared of them?
As plain as the paper on that wall is. He could do that to Harry Donner. He could do the same to you.
Shut up.
Doesn't he?
All right, he could, but he's not gonna. I'm watching him, Alma. I'm watching every movie mix. He doesn't fool me.
You're scared stiff. I just hope he doesn't see it.
The book of matches found in Harry Donner's pocket was from a motel in a nearby city. Agent Reynolds and I drove out to this motel and showed the owner Donner's picture.
Yes, he was here for a couple of weeks. He had that end room down there, number 15. Why, is he in some kind of trouble?
He was killed by a bomb explosion on Monday.
That fellow, number 15?
That's right. He was wanted by our bureau for bank robbery.
Bank robbery?
Yes.
You mean he
was one of three men who held up the Fairmont National Bank 6 months ago.
Well, I certainly never would have figured him for a criminal type. I mean, he didn't talk tough or anything like that. He mostly stayed right in his room.
Did he have any visitors, Mr. Healy?
No, sir, he did not.
Did he get any long-distance phone calls?
No, sir, not that I know of. Mostly he just sat in his room and looked at the baseball game on the television.
So, as far as you know, no one communicated with him while he was here?
No, sir, as far as I know. But wait a second. There was a telegram. He got a telegram. Yeah, I remember that. I took it down for him. They don't deliver out here.
Do you remember what it said?
Yeah, sure. All it said was, stop worrying, letter follows, or
something close to that.
When did he get this telegram, Mr. Healy?
3 or 4 days before he left here.
Did the letter come later?
Yes, it did. Special delivery.
Dave, I'll go right back to town. First West Communion. Thanks, Mr. Healy.
That's all right. But, you know, I never would have... Certainly goes to show you, doesn't it?
I guess it does. I'll be right back, Steve. See you later.
The telegram to Harry Donner was sent from an office on River Street in Bay City. This section is well known to police as a criminal hangout. We began a slow canvas of the hotels and dives in the area to see who might have been sending a letter to Harry Donner.
So now we took care of Harry. I figure there's no reason why we don't split up what's left. Alma and I thought we'd take a few months' vacation to Miami, maybe.
Is that right, Alma?
I think Miami's special. He knows.
Well, it doesn't have to be Miami. It could be any place. We just want to get away.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't like this town in winter either.
Oh, so let's get the money out of the vault, Joe, huh? We'll call us a deal.
Are you broke, Eddie? I gave you $500 a couple of weeks ago.
I spent it.
Not on Alma. Did he spend it on you, Alma?
He's very different. He threw away most of it on those stupid long-shot horses.
Now, look, Alma.
You know, Eddie... If I had a smart-looking doll like Alma, I wouldn't be throwing my dough away.
You want to just give me what's coming to me?
Sure, sure. But I figured with that business of Harry Donner only a couple of weeks ago...
Look, we waited long enough. Now, let's provide it now.
Okay. We'll drive up to Cincinnati Monday.
What's the matter with starting right now?
Well, it's 400 miles. The bank closes at 3 o'clock. We'll go on Monday.
I don't...
What difference does it make if you get it today or Monday?
Okay, Monday. Give Joe another drink.
There isn't any more.
Well, get down to the corner and get some.
You get down to the corner and get it.
What's the matter with her?
Well, I like her company better than yours. Here. Here's the dough. Get 2 bottles.
I got money.
Okay. 2 bottles, huh? Oh, you know my brand. I'll stick to that, if you. What's he so grand about?
He's curious.
Well, you're supposed to. Yeah.
No, I don't.
No?
No, I don't.
Since when, Alma?
Never mind. So there might be a half a drink left in this bottle. You want it?
No.
Okay, I do.
Alma?
Hmm?
Since when, I'm asking you?
Yeah? What difference does it make?
A lot of difference. I've been thinking about Eddie and me. We're not hitting it off so good either.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Maybe.
Sure you do. You're pretty smart, Alma. You're scared of me, isn't he?
I wouldn't know.
Sure he is. That's the way Harry Donner used to be, nervous and jumping all the time. But you get tired of it, Alma?
Yes, I do.
That's what I thought. I get tired of it myself. I don't like nervous people either.
back to A Book of Matches in just a moment.
Friends, this is Jimmy Wallington, paying the highest office in our land, the Presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He was born in New Hampshire in 1804, and in his early teens, he was an associate of Nathaniel Hawthorne and William Wadsworth Longfellow. After serving in the state legislature, he was offered a cabinet position under President James K. Polk. This he declined, preferring to volunteer for military service in the Mexican War. He served with distinction and bravery, and his war record was a decisive factor in making him a presidential candidate. Elected in 1852, his administration was marked by the growth of the slavery controversy and the signing of the treaty with Japan. Now, you should have his name by now, but in case you don't, here's one more important clue. Many important men were competitive for his nomination, including Stephen Douglas and James Buchanan. It was not until the 49th ballot that his party nominated him as its candidate. Yes, he was Franklin Pierce, 14th President of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage.
And now, Act Two of tonight's story, A Book of Matches. Bay City Police, we kept a constant check on the River Street area, looking for Joe Ward and Eddie Jackson, two of the men involved in the Fairmont bank robbery. Jackson was known to be an ardent horse player, and a certain bookie named Sam Powers was known to accommodate any player at any time as long as the player had the money.
That's not so. If a guy was wanted, I wouldn't accommodate him no matter how much dough he had.
Come on, Sam. We know better.
I tell you, boys, I haven't seen Eddie Jackson for 6 months, maybe longer.
You haven't seen Joe Ward either.
Ward doesn't bet on a horse. He's too smart.
Uh-huh. Sam, you got a checking account at the downtown bank, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
You know the manager there, Mr. Wyler?
Sure.
Well, Mr. Wyler called our field office this morning, Sam. We've given all banks the serial numbers of the large bills taken at the Fairmont robbery. Mr. Wyler reported that three $20 bills on that list were deposited by one of his accounts this morning.
What's that to me?
It was your account, Sam.
Three $20 bills?
From the Fairmont robbery.
Looks like Jackson slipped one over on you, Sam. Or did you know the money was hot?
Oh, that louse got two bit chiseling.
You wouldn't have taken the money if you'd known it was hot, would you, Sam?
You bet your life I wouldn't. I don't go for that kind of stuff, and he knows it, but dirty little two-time jerk.
He picked you up good, Sam. You could be booked as an accomplice on this thing.
Hey, hey, where do you get that stuff? All I do is make book on a horse.
Unless it was pretty clear how you got those three $20 bills.
I got them when Eddie Jackson made a $50 bet on Flyaway in the third race at Arlington day before yesterday.
Where is Jackson now, Sam?
I wish I knew, believe me.
You're sure you don't know?
I'm positive. He's got a room somewhere around here, but I never ask questions. He is just a criminal, just criminal, hot money on me. Believe me, it's the last time he'll ever pull a stunt like that.
You're going to help us, is that right, Sam?
It sure is. I never turned in a customer of mine yet, but this guy deserves anything he gets, believe me.
With Sam Powers on the lookout for Eddie Jackson, we continued our search for both men. If Jackson felt it was safe to start spending the robbery money, we hoped more of it would turn up.
Still at it?
Well, I'm afraid of a mate. Will you stop creeping around a place? Knock on a door or something.
What's that to you about? Here, set me down these things on this.
I don't need any lessons on how to play solitaire.
You sure got bad, haven't you?
Why don't you go to a movie or something? You're getting in my head.
Too late. You said we're starting early in the morning, didn't you?
I'm starting. You didn't have to get up.
I thought I'd go along for the ride. Still thought it was all right.
When did you talk to Joe?
He was here this afternoon while you were down at the horse room.
I wasn't down at the horse room.
You said
well,
you
I changed my mind. I phoned in my bed. Why was Joe here?
Wanted to see you, probably.
What for?
What's it all for?
He changed his mind about getting the money.
He's only here a couple of minutes.
We're going to Cincinnati. We're getting that money out of the deposit box. I'm not taking any more stolen from him.
Well, don't tell me.
Of course me. I'm not Harry Donnie.
All right, Eddie.
If he fools around with me, he's going to be in trouble. I guarantee that.
Yeah, sure. I know. Where are you going?
For a walk. I need some air.
Okay.
I can take care of myself, Alma. You can't pull anything on me and get away with it.
Hey. Joe, it's me, Alma. Eddie's just gone out for a walk.
Telling you we're coming tomorrow? How's he feeling?
Jumpy.
That's good.
Joe.
Yeah.
He says you fool around with him, there'll be trouble.
He's really waked up, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Did you do what I told you this afternoon, Alma?
Mm-hmm, that's all taken care of.
Okay, then there's nothing to worry about. See you tomorrow.
Okay, Joe. Night.
When Sam Powers got a call from Eddie Jackson placing a bet on a horse race, we were notified immediately. Powers asked Jackson where to send the money if the horse won. Jackson said he was going out of town, but would call again as soon as he got back. The horse was named Honey Boy, running in the fourth race at Belmont.
Honey Boy one. Go to next to God, sir. And stop, I'll get a paper.
What's the hurry if they'll ever stay at the motel?
Big car
just to sell.
Think about Big Red at 40 to 1, huh?
I won that.
All right, if I did it once, I can do it again. You want anything?
No, nothing for me.
Okay.
That's the slugs out of his gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How long you gotta wait, Joe?
Well, it's gotta be a good spot, Alma, on a dirt road up in the backwoods. We'll come to plenty of that tomorrow when we go into the hills just before Cincinnati.
All right. Let's get it over with,
We will. Don't worry.
Hey, he won. Honey Boy won by 3 lengths. He paid $31.70. Look at that. He ran out front all the way. He paid $31. Now tell me I took crazy long steps. Go ahead, tell me that.
Get in the car, Eddie.
$31.70. How do you like that, Joe, huh?
That is great.
You bet it is. Then I got another winner for tomorrow, Alma. When we get to the motel, I'll call Sam Powers. You just watch. I'll take him again tomorrow. Hello. Yeah, this is Sam Powers. Hello, Eddie. Where you calling from? Long distance? Huh? Listen, Eddie, you know me. You can place a piece of business from China if you want it, Hold it a second, will you? I gotta cut off the bell on the other phone. Just a second, Eddie. Hello, operator. Get me the FBI office right away, will you?
What time have you got, Steve?
9:15. What's the mileage?
215.
We ought to see a sign for the motel in the next couple of miles. It's mills back there, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
The usual.
Same here. I wish I was one of those guys in the pictures. Full of quiet determination, no butterflies in the stomach. Just walk in and get your man.
Those guys don't even chew gum to relieve the tension.
Yeah, I know.
Joe Ward is a very rough article, Steve.
They say.
How are we going to lay it out?
Better get a look at the motel first.
What about Jackson?
I don't know. Ward won't give up easily. I suppose Jackson goes along with him. The director said not to take any chances with either of them.
Oh, there's the sign for the motel.
Uh-huh.
Got a swimming pool.
I think it's the best for Joe and Eddie.
We drive right in?
Yeah, Mills can cover us while we go into the office. Calling WFBI Car 6. WFBI Car 6. Over.
WFBI Car 6. Go ahead.
You stay in the parking area, Tom, and cover us when we go into the office.
Okay, Steve.
There it is.
No vacancy. Would be crowded, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope Eddie and Joe are in their rooms and not out for the evening.
Yeah, maybe Eddie's busy picking the horses. Let's hope we get some kind of break anyway.
So I said, just take the dope, honey boy. Let it ride on Skylark. How do you like that for a parley, eh, Joe?
Great. Look, if there's nothing more in that bottle, I'll go back to my room.
No, there's plenty more. Pass that to Joe, Elmer. You're not tired, Joe, are you? It's early yet.
Well, we've still got a few miles to go tomorrow.
Well, who cares? Let's knock off the rest of the bottle.
You know, a couple of highballs and you get pretty repulsive, Eddie.
All right, so I'm repulsive, but I can pick the horses, can't I? Hey, what is that?
That's a phone.
I didn't see that. How come they got a phone in a motel? What are you going to do, let it ring all night? Yeah,
I hear you. Sure, I understand. So let him come in and get it. Pull down the shade, Alma.
What is it?
Pull down the shade.
Joe, what?
FBI. Said they got the place covered. We're supposed to come out with our hands up.
FBI!
How do I know? Eddie, here. Save yourself for your gun.
What?
Your gun. There's nothing in it. I took out the slugs. Here they are.
You took the slugs out of my gun for what?
Never mind. Now, look, we can make a break for the woods over there.
Wait a minute. What did you take the slugs out of my gun for?
There isn't time to go into that now.
Were you going to fix me like you did Harry Donner, Joe?
You shut up and listen to what we're going to do.
You know, Joe, you were going to get rid of me. And you took the slugs out, didn't you, Alma?
Will you shut up and listen? And when I douse this slug, that's what he was going to do to me, huh? And you were going to help him. Pull out the shades, Alma. Open that window. Do what I say.
Joe Ward, Harry Donner.
We're coming out. Hold your fire.
Joe Ward was seriously wounded by Eddie Jackson just before Jackson and Alma Sellers surrendered. Ward and Jackson were tried for the murder of Harry Donner, convicted and sentenced to life imprisonment. Alma Sellers, as an accessory, was tried separately and sentenced to 5 years. The case is closed that began with A Book of Matches. In tonight's story, Elspeth Eric played the part of Alma Sellers. Bob Reddick was Eddie Jackson. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Peace and War has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.